Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Modern Loving Family podcast, where we talk about all things polyamory, parenting, queerness, and love in the modern age. Welcome back, everyone, to the Modern Loving Family podcast. And on this episode,
the polycule is pregnant.
We announced this past week the polycule is pregnant. I am currently about 10 weeks pregnant. Mm-hmm. We are currently about 10 weeks pregnant, and we are super excited about it. And we're here to answer all of the nosy questions that you may have about it. Okay, maybe not all of them.
Did we get questions?
We did actually get a few questions. Oh. We have a couple of questions via TikTok and private message. So we will dig into those and maybe address some questions that we have already gotten.
Sounds good.
So, yeah.
Well, you're like the keeper of the keys of questions.
I am, because people tend to message me with questions, I think, more than you two. At least, well, you've gotten some.
I got one, but I don't really know if it was like a real person.
Okay.
Because they sent it like 3 times in a row, like within like a minute of each other.
Huh.
So you're getting bot questions.
But it was a very like well thought out bot. So if you're out there and you're not a bot, can you just send that again? I'm not going to name names. But if you're not a bot, just send that again.
Yeah, just drop back in. Yeah. Just drop back in and just, you know, assure us.
Because I'm a little shook.
Yeah.
Because it was like a lot.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, either this machine has a lot of feelings or somebody just doesn't realize how email works. That's not a slight against you, my bot friend. I love you. You're great. Before we get into all that, I would love to say happy anniversary to you two celebrating a year of togetherness and fanciful love. You took a weekend trip this weekend.
We did. Mm-hmm. We did. It
was a crazy weekend,
but it was
a gorgeous time in Eureka Springs and the best people to share it with.
Aww. Yeah. Well, happy anniversary to us, because I mean it may be Carl and I's anniversary, but it's really the anniversary of the polycule in its current iteration.
That's true.
So, granted, the polycule looked a little bit different whenever Carl and I first got together, but I mean,
yeah, we were both.
You had a partner.
I had
another partner. Yeah. You had another partner. And none of those are still in the picture, at least not in the iteration that they once were. But I would dare say I think that all of us are pretty happy a year into this. So.
I mean, it's felt like 5 years and it's felt like 5 weeks.
Yeah.
All at the same time.
And like, we're not even the only ones who have said that. Like, our friends have said that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've said that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It does not feel like time has no meaning at all during the pandemic.
True.
But like, even afterwards, like, it feels like a blink.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, it's been a pretty busy year, and there's been a lot happen. And I don't think that either one of us a year ago would have called where it is now.
Not even.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we talked about this a lot this weekend.
And I am great with where things are.
Me too. I'm pretty good. So
I'm still a whole fucking mess.
But that doesn't have anything to do with us.
Right. That's not your issue. But yes, I'm in a much different place in that regard, but I'm very happy in the place that we are in as a polycule.
Well, and Candy, I will say thank you for being the loving and supportive partner to Jamie that you are, and to all of this, because this doesn't work without Metas having each other's backs.
No, Meta. So. That's what we do.
Did y'all really just fist bump? That was adorable.
I almost thought you were going to go into the Golden Girls theme, and then I was going to be like, marry me.
But no, I mean, Carl's totally right. Like, you've been our biggest cheerleader, like, from day one. Like, when I came home and was like, hey, Carl asked me out on a date. What do you think about that? You were like, oh, hell yes.
Well, 99% of that is because I love you too.
And
like, that's it. The other 1% of it is because some of these motherfuckers out here are going to be jumping stupid. And they're going to need to see that this is a solid foundation at the house. Because some people think that.
Yeah.
Like, they have, and we talked about this in one of the episodes, they have like, different fantasies in their head about how our polycule operates. I'm like, nah, baby, like, it ain't nothing but love here.
It's really hilarious because I think that people think that sometimes there's like really something nefarious going on, like you're like, I'm like trying to pull one over on you or something, when in actuality it's pretty wholesome around here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, we're, it's just the three of us in, you know, I'm in a relationship with both of you. We're raising a toddler. We're going to work. We're paying bills. It's pretty, it's pretty boring a lot of the time, I would say.
Yeah, there's, yeah, there's no sex dungeons.
No.
There's no, which is nothing wrong with that if you have a dungeon.
No, not at all. Just not our thing.
It's not our thing, yeah. There's no animal sacrifices.
No, no.
Not anymore.
Oh, God. Before this goes completely off the rails, Kendi, I'm going to ask you as an observer, and then Carl, I'm totally putting you on the spot. So as an observer, what have you enjoyed seeing over the past year in Carl and I's relationship? Like, how it's evolved, how it's grown?
I have enjoyed seeing you, Jamie, open yourself up to another person and have that reciprocated completely.
No.
So that's been a really special thing to watch unfold. And I called it like 2 or 3 weeks into y'all's relationship. I was like, I think I even said to you, I was like, so have you told him you love him yet?
You did. You asked me that way before I actually said it.
Yes. Yes. Because it was just so easy to see.
Yeah.
And then to you, Carl, I mean, just seeing the level of comfort that grew and grew and grew with you, the more you came over here, the more that you became integral into our lives, into all of our lives, it's been a really magical journey. So I observe both of those things from both of you.
No, thank you.
I don't take that lightly. Thank you.
Carl, what have you enjoyed in terms of growth and change and et cetera over the past year?
I love how comfortable all of this feels.
Yeah.
Honestly. Definitely, you know, was not in a place in my life a couple of years ago where I could have relaxed enough to enjoy this kind of relationship. But have gone through some things and have done a lot of, you know, personal growth that has allowed me to be able to sit back and reflexively look at this and go, no, I do kind of deserve this, and this is nice.
Yeah.
Enjoy this, dummy. And and that takes a lot of the pressure off.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that I have to be anything and everything.
No.
We just have to be what it is.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, thank you both for that.
Well, you're welcome.
I mean, because what it is keeps changing all the time.
Yeah, so. I mean, we talked about this weekend. I mean, like 6 months ago, like I think if I had told you 6 months ago that we would be at the level of kind of commitment that we're at now, I think you would have broken out in hives.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's the level of growth just even since then.
Well, I mean, 6 months ago, you had just gotten back from Scotland.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, well, okay, maybe a little bit longer than 6 months. Because I would say that trip was definitely a turning point for us.
Maybe like last January or something.
Yeah, yeah. January, February, if I had told you that we would be where we're at now, I think you would have broken out in hives. So,
Jamie, what's been your favorite point of growth that you've seen in Carl and I? Or maybe yourself. I'm putting you on the spot now.
Yeah, you are putting me on the spot.
Welcome to the hot seat.
I'm used to doing this to the two of you.
You, yeah. Turnabout's fair play.
You know, I have enjoyed feeling so completely loved and supported. Like, it makes me feel truly invincible. And, you know, I mean, and it's not that I didn't have that with you, Kendi, because I did. I totally did. It's just that, like, now it's magnified and it's even bigger. And, you know, I think, and I... ironically, I think that that's one of the reasons why some people are very critical of me being in this kind of dynamic, because I think there is a little bit of jealousy with just how loved and supported I am, because people crave that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are missing that from their lives. And I want nothing more than for my loved ones to have the same kind of feeling of love and belonging and just completeness that I have. You know, I was talking like this weekend. I'm currently like, I have a couple of comet partners that I see every now and then. But other than that, I'm not really dating a whole lot right now. I'm not like looking to go date anybody. Because like right now, I love this dynamic so much that I don't really want to introduce another variable into it yet. And I mean, I'm not saying that I won't ever, but it's just that right now, everything is just working so well that I don't really want to mess with it. So I've enjoyed feeling just this sense of just support and love and seeing like y'all's friendship. Cause I mean, y'all were friends before, but like you've definitely gotten closer over the past year and like being able to see y'all's friendship blossom and the support that you two have for each other has also been really gratifying to me.
I'll say we're flush with free times.
Yeah, I know.
The Google Calendar is hot to the touch.
Yeah,
just from all of the stuff that's in there.
Yeah, so I have tons of time to date. You know, even if I wanted to,
we definitely have to do an episode on the calendar. That should be the next one.
Oh God, we're gonna need like
that's like three episodes.
Yeah, three episodes in just of to get itself. Through just Monday. To like just to talk through the Polycule Google Calendar.
So. I got some dates I need to add in there. Speaking of that. Well, thank you for sharing that.
No, thank you for asking. And thank you both for the past year. And, you know, beyond that, I mean, you've been in this for 13, so.
Yes, this is 13 which years.
Which also doesn't feel.
I think this past month or the month of October when we first started?
Yeah, actually.
Oh, happy 13th.
Oh, yeah, happy 13th. Because, yeah, October 2009 is when we first said I love you, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of consider that our first anniversary and then our wedding anniversary in June. So, Well, October, what a good month. Mm-hmm. Fall is good for me, apparently, in terms of my love life.
You got this, you got Halloween.
Yeah. It's a great time to be me. So, all right, everybody, the Polycule is pregnant.
Woo!
So, let's get into it and let's kind
That's how we got here. Sorry, you... Oh, that was so easy. I apologize.
That was so bad.
Sorry,
Katie.
Sorry,
that's
listeners.
So bad. Sorry. All right. So let's just kind of give some backstory. So Kendi and I went through a bit of an infertility journey when we were on the way to conceiving our daughter. So we started talking about getting pregnant in 2017, and began trying. After 6 months, nothing had happened, and at that point in our lives, you know, all the literature was saying, well, you know, give it another 6 months. And I was like, I feel in my gut that there is something wrong. And so we ended up going to my OB at the 6 month mark. And I was just very honest and was like, you know, I know that it's early and that we haven't been on this for very long, but I feel in my gut that there is something wrong. And bless her, because she believed me.
Mm-hmm.
And so like she ran a bunch of tests and, we did have some mild, factor of infertility. And so, that began a process of us seeking out infertility specialists and things like that, trying to figure out what we could do to get pregnant. So we began pursuing IUI, and then in, August of that year, we found out that we were pregnant. And unfortunately, that ended in a missed miscarriage. I'm sorry, I definitely should have given a trigger warning to this episode, and we will definitely do that in the description.
Yes.
But that ended in a missed miscarriage. For those of you who don't know what a missed miscarriage is, not every miscarriage ends in, you know, you cramping and having bleeding and things like that. But sometimes you have all the pregnancy symptoms and you think everything is going fine and it's not. So we unfortunately found out that the embryo had not developed past like the 5 or 6 week mark. And so I had to have surgery. After that, we got cleared to try again. And so we tried a little bit more as we were waiting to get into the next fertility specialist. We ended up getting pregnant again on like the last month before we were due to start IUI. Unfortunately, it was one of those million and one chances we had another missed miscarriage, and that was due to trisomy. So after that, we entered a bit of a party phase.
That was the summer of 2019.
Yes, that was summer of 2019.
And we after your recovery, so that you recovered in July.
Yeah.
And we spent August.
We spent August and September and like half of October.
Really partying.
Hardcore partying.
I mean, we thought we were 21 again.
Yeah, because we really just needed a break from the stress. I mean, for those of you who have been through an infertility journey, you know that it is all consuming. Like, it consumes your entire life. Mm-hmm. You change your diet. You change your exercise habits. You change your sleep habits. You change your supplements. You change the way that you approach doctor's visits. I mean, I have read so many medical journals over infertility that I feel like I should have probably gone to medical school at this point.
And I will say this too. So often it is put on the birthing person,
yes,
to carry all of that knowledge and to carry all of that stress. And we made a point in our relationship to not. And so in addition, you know, when you hear Jamie talk about infertility, you might think that they just got all the testing done. I had analysis run. I changed my diet. I did these things too, because we had several talks with each other,
yeah,
to make sure that, you know, we knew that it wasn't going to just take one person to create this life.
Right.
So if you're listening out there and you've been through infertility journeys or you know someone who has, we really want to drive the point home that it's not just one person's responsibility to change to make it better. It
right.
is however many parties are involved, yeah. But it's definitely not to be put on one person.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we kind of just sort of took a break for about a couple of months. And
your birthday party that year was lit.
Yeah, my birthday party was quite the... I don't remember a lot of my birthday party, if we're being completely honest. But then we got into the fertility specialist, and we were due to start IUI in November. And boy, my period just didn't show up. And didn't show up. I hadn't had a positive pregnancy test, though. And so the doctor called me in a prescription to get things started. And I decided one night after I got home from partying, because I was just so sure that my period was going to start while I was out that night. Because I was like...
Well, we were gigging, too.
Yeah, we were gigging. And like in between gigs, like in between sets, I was going around the corner to a different bar to take shots with my friends. I am not saying that I was, you know, behaving in a healthy manner at this point. But yeah, after that night, because I was just so sure that it was going to start at that. And it didn't. And I was like, what the hell? And so I decided to take one last pregnancy test. While I was still pretty inebriated from partying, because again, keep in mind, to this point, I had had negative test after negative test all week long, and I'll be damned if that wasn't the strongest positive pregnancy test I had ever seen in my life.
Her name is Dublin.
Yes, her name is Dublin, and she comes by it a bit honestly. That was the start of that. So... we made it through that pregnancy. It was a high-risk pregnancy. And she was born in July of 2020. So we went through half of that pregnancy in complete isolation. When it came for time for birth, I was induced because I was a gestational diabetic and had some other risk factors, and we could not continue the pregnancy past like about 38 and a half weeks. So I went in to be induced. Kendi was the only person I could have with me. My doula was there via FaceTime. Michaela, you are a saint if you are listening to this.
We love you.
Yes. And it was an incredibly stressful journey. 3 days of labor, and nearly got sent to a C-section, but narrowly avoided it. In large part, thanks to Kendi and his amazing efforts to be a very supportive partner in the birthing process. So we had our daughter, and at that point we had kind of decided that we were one and done.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't, I mean, again, infertility is some extreme trauma. And if you have been through infertility, you can understand that for sure. If you've had miscarriages, you can definitely understand the trauma that we had. And so we were just so thankful to finally have a baby in our arms that we were
like, just, this is it.
Like, sold the baby swing when she was done with it, and you know.
I almost didn't expect you to say swing after. I was like, wait, when did we sell the baby?
No. The baby is still here, just
yes.
So we're clear.
Yes.
But then around, I don't know, she was a little over a year old.
Mm-hmm. We started talking again.
We started talking about you know, wanting to have another baby. At that point, Carl, you and I were just friends, but I did mention to you.
But we talked.
Yeah, because, I mean, we were very good friends before we started dating. But I had said that, you know, we were thinking of trying again. And so, yeah, we went back to the fertility specialist and let them know what was up. And that was when we were diagnosed with secondary infertility, which is when you've had a healthy baby and then you are diagnosed with some sort of infertility factor. Again, at this point, I was no longer ovulating. And Kendi also had some mild male factor infertility issues as well. And so we were told at that point, and this is the second time, right? Because whenever we got pregnant with our daughter, we had been told that we would not get pregnant without significant intervention. Mm-hmm. So we were told again, you will not get pregnant without significant intervention. And so that was about at the point that, Carl, you and I started dating. Mm-hmm. And so, like, when we started dating, we had to have a pretty, you know, serious talk because I was like, I'm not on birth control and this is why. And so that's something that, you know, a lot of polycules maybe have to navigate or don't. I haven't really talked to a whole lot of other people that are, like, in the process of trying to conceive with one partner but not the other.
Yeah.
And things like that. And so it is a bit complicated. And you do have to have some pretty serious conversations about that. So, I mean, one of the earliest conversations that we had with this was like, hey, what are we going to do if for some reason we get pregnant instead of Kendi and I getting pregnant? And so, like, that's a really fun conversation to have before you even have a second date.
A little coffee talk.
Yeah.
But at my age, I will say, I have 2 grown children, mm-hmm. and they are, you know, awesome parts of my life.
Yeah.
And you know, thought I was done too.
Sorry.
But the 2 children that I have, we adopted.
Yes.
My ex and I adopted the 2 that we have, and they are my children just as much as they would be.
Absolutely.
And so this is a different journey for me.
Yeah.
This is definitely a different place being at the stage of my life where I am, right? I thought I was past the whole...
Yeah, because, I mean, you've never had a partner who was, like, actively trying to get pregnant.
No.
So, or where it was even, like, even really a possibility, like, in the past, like, 10 years probably or so.
No.
So, you have been wonderfully patient, and thank you for that. So,
I support y'all on this journey and love seeing the love that you have with the daughter that you have. Love seeing how wonderful parents you are and think that the world is a better place for that. I'm looking forward to the next one.
Oh, well, thank you. Mm-hmm. So, we started dating in, well, November 1st mm-hmm. of last year.
Well, and I was very reticent to involve myself, especially in Dublin's life.
Yeah.
I did not want, I mean, because I know how incredibly vital having constant and, you know, supportive parental figures around when you are you know, in those early stages of life. I mean, that's incredibly important.
Yeah.
I'm still dealing with factors with my own children and some of the adoption journey that we had with them, and did not want to put myself into a place where this child was dependent on me in that way. And she's got the most beautiful smile ever, and I love seeing her, and I love seeing her eyes light up when I'm in the room. She calls me Uncle Carl, and it is the cutest thing.
It's ever. Pretty great.
But she puts a shadow vowel on the end, so it's Uncle Carlo. Which makes it even cuter.
And so she has made a lot of this way less scary.
Yeah.
She is a delight to be around.
Yeah.
And you know, makes the small part that I have in supporting y'all through this journey gratifying and absolutely not just worth it, but joyful.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I think that that's one thing that a lot of people ask us about. It's like, well, how involved do your partners get with your kids? And it's like, well, they don't have a serious level of involvement, obviously, unless they have been here a while.
Right.
But, I mean, Dublin met your past mm-hmm. partner.
Yeah.
And, you know, meeting people is fine, I think, because here's the thing is that people come in and out of kids' lives all the time. They have different teachers from year to year. Friendships wax and wane. People pass away. But we do consider very seriously who we allow to be involved in her life on a very, very deep level. And I mean, the fact that like you kind of came into her life as a friend of mine, I think definitely changed mm-hmm. the way that we approach that. But so yeah, I mean, you came in November of last year. You became involved in Dublin's life, and then so we received news in January that like
there was no way.
There was absolutely no way that we were going to get pregnant on our own, mm-hmm. and so naturally in March we got pregnant. Unfortunately, that also ended in a miscarriage, and you know, basically as soon as we found out, like we found out and then a week later it was over. Mm-hmm. And it was really sad, I think, for us, like as a family unit, like the three of us, we all went through a grief process. And I mean, for Kendi and I mean, we had been through this grief process before. For me, I honestly, like I was sad, but it was not the all consuming grief that like the first miscarriage was, for sure.
Yeah.
The second miscarriage, I think, hit you.
Oh yeah, I was shattered.
Yeah, the second miscarriage hit you harder than it hit me. I mean, I was still profoundly affected by it, but I think that one was the hardest for you. Mm-hmm. This third miscarriage, I think, was hard for you because you had never really been on this road before.
No, it was.
I mean, like you left class, and like before I knew it, you were here. So,
and. Still just very much in shock and
yeah.
just understanding. And I mean, that was when I really had a much better understanding
of yeah.
the journey that you guys had been through. I mean, we had talked about it and I knew, you know,
right.
the details and stuff, but I mean, the emotional sort of push and pull and tug
yeah.
Is, I mean, it's not unlike being a parent.
No.
I mean, you're 2 years in.
Yeah.
Holler at me in 15.
Yeah.
That's not going to change. But it's deep.
Yeah. And I feel like you probably understand that on a much deeper level now, having kind of like witnessed that journey. So yeah, and that's one, you know, our previous two miscarriages we were very public about.
Yeah.
Because I believe personally that there is power in destigmatizing infant and pregnancy loss. A lot of people think that miscarriages have to do with like something the birthing parent did to cause it, and the thing is that is very, very, very rarely the case. In the case of our miscarriages, they were chromosomal abnormalities, and they could have been on my end or Kendi's end or both of our ends. We know what happened with the second. The second one had triploidy, so they had three sets of chromosomes, and so that would never have been a viable pregnancy. Like, there's nothing we could have done to save that. And I think that speaking truth to these things gives people power. And it gives us power to not only like remember these pregnancies and honor them, if that is a part of your grief journey, but also to just, you know, destigmatize the fact that this is not the birthing parent's fault.
Right.
But this third pregnancy, you know, it happened so fast that we didn't really tell anybody about it because hardly anybody knew.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
My parents knew, and then the two of you knew, and I think that that's about it. And it happened so fast that, you know, we kind of kept it to ourselves.
And we didn't need surgical intervention.
No. And so it was intense in a way because, like, our grief, we couldn't share it, or we didn't really feel the need to share it. We didn't really, at that point, Roe v. Wade was starting
the
to
opinion
come under,
had been
yeah,
published
was starting to come under attack. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't necessarily feel as safe sharing that information anymore. So in that way it was a little bit more intense, but it was a shorter period of grief.
Condensed amount of time.
Yeah. And I kind of
reasons.
I kind of bounced back pretty quickly. So that was in March of this year. Mm-hmm. And so after that, we were told again,
this will never happen without medical
there
intervention.
There is no way you will have a viable pregnancy.
Every one of your doctors.
Yeah. Our entire medical team told us there is no way. And so I don't want to say that we, like, gave up trying, but, like, we weren't, you know.
It wasn't all-encompassing.
It wasn't all-encompassing because we were like, well, I mean, you know, this isn't going to happen. For those of you who have gone through infertility, you know that, you know, if you're trying, you're charting everything out and you're logging every time that you're doing everything and you're tracking your ovulation and stuff. And, I mean, we were kind of tracking, but not really, and we weren't really sinking a whole lot of emotional effort into this.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, because we've been through this before, and hearing it again from a team of medical professionals that are
way smarter than me,
right, that no matter what we do, it won't happen. It's
yeah.
Like, well, that to a certain level, that's just very. I mean, it's sad.
Yeah, it's sad. It's discouraging,
yeah.
And you know, you. Again, these are people who I consider to be way smarter than me, and so I take their opinion as, you know, fact.
Mm-hmm.
So we go through the summer. My cycles were thrown way off. I had COVID in May, and that kind of threw things off. And September rolls around, and my friend was in from Scotland to do some work with me over here. And I knew that my period was due while he was here. And I was feeling, you know, I was feeling like some PMS symptoms and stuff. And I was just like, I wish this would just show up so I could get this over with. And then we had a weekend where we got a hotel in Little Rock. And, like, you came down and you spent a night with me. And then you came down and you spent a night with me. And I remember the night that you came down, Kendi, I was feeling really off. Like, I was starting to feel really off. And, like, I actually looked at myself in the mirror and I noticed that I looked different. Mm. And I was like, I know. 'Cause, like, I had taken a pregnancy test, like, before I actually went to Little Rock. It was negative. I should have learned my lesson about this. But I took a test the day we left for Little Rock and it was negative. And so what did I do? We went to the gay bar and I had a gay bar pour and
that was a very, it was a yes.
And then I really felt like crap afterwards. And so the next day, like, we came back here to the house and I think I had two more tests and I was like, well, you know, they're going to be negative. You know, I can tell, like, and so I took a nap and I woke up from the nap and I was like, okay, I'm just going to do this and I'll be damned if there wasn't a faint line. And I was like, this was like in the afternoon. And for those of you who have been through infertility, have been through pregnancy, you know that they always recommend that you, like, you take that pregnancy test first thing in the morning. But it was the middle of the afternoon and there was a line. And I was like, well, that's definitely a positive right there. So I took the other one because I was like, maybe it was just a fluke. Maybe it was just a fluke. Took the other one. No, it was positive too. And so then I very calmly, because, like, keep in mind, my friend was here. And so, like, you and Kendi and Chris were, like, at the kitchen table, like, shooting the shit about something. And I was like, I have to go do a Target pickup. I'll be right back. I go, I do a Target drive-up order for the fancy schmancy pregnancy tests.
The one that have, like, clear words.
The ones that say pregnant or not.
Yeah.
And I sneak it back in the house like I am a teenager trying to hide something from my parents. and take it. And yeah, it's pretty damn clear at this point. So yeah, I come downstairs and Kendi and Carl and my friend are at the kitchen table and I'm like, well, hey dudes, we're pregnant. What was going through y'all's mind when that happened? Because, I mean, y'all both found out at the same time.
I guess the first thought that came to my mind was, wow, we defied the odds again. And I don't say that to be, like, cocky. I just...
No, it's a sense of wonder for me.
Really. I'm just, like, shock and awe. Like, this has happened again. And I'm elated, like... extremely happy, obviously, but it's still just like, how do we keep doing this? Yes. But still full of happiness and like excited.
Yeah.
I mean, it's every emotion that is like positive. Right. because, you know, we defied the odds again. Yeah. And now we get to have this journey again.
Yeah.
I loved being able to see both of y'all and be excited for both of y'all as we found out. It was just a sense of elation and joy and just love shared around table among this group of people, right, who knew y'all very well and who had, you know, who knew the parts of this journey, and just surrounded by that kind of love and care made that revelation really special.
Yeah. It was a really special moment. I'm so glad that Chris was here.
I know, right?
Yeah. Like,
if you're listening, Chris, we love you.
Yeah. Chris is a self-proclaimed not kid person, but you should see this man around our daughter.
Oh, he read her so many books and yeah. She was just rapt with attention.
Yeah, she still talks about Uncle Chris reading. Mm. So yeah, that positive test kicked off several weeks of just kind of wondering,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I would say that initial elation was then followed by like,
is this viable?
Yeah.
Like, is this, are we going to go down the same path again that we've been on?
And yeah. Like, that because was, I wasn't able to get into the doctor until, October. Just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you've been through missed miscarriages, it's very hard to trust your body and trust the process because, again, with a missed miscarriage, you sometimes have absolutely zero symptoms that anything is amiss. But, yeah, we had that appointment and saw that little tiny flicker of cardiac activity. Kendi was at that appointment.
Yes, and that was the first time that we saw anything off of just a belly scan on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
The regular ultrasound.
Yeah, and so, like... I already had like a little bit of a bump and everything else. And so that was really special. We took some video and immediately sent it to Carl mm-hmm. since he wasn't able to be there.
We got a folder that has the yeah. ultrasound. We'll have all of the ultrasounds over the next
yeah.
course of weeks and months.
So let's address the elephant in the room. So Carl, you've gotten a couple of questions.
Sure.
From people wondering whose baby it is.
Well, and part of y'all's infertility journey, it became something that I wanted to check out and just make sure that, you know, I'd test myself. And again, as a partner within this polycule, this also became partly my journey as well. And
yeah.
So I wanted to get tested. I actually just started finding out about, about a vasectomy and put that on hold and got tested to see what, you know, what factors, if I needed to contribute that I could. I mean, my testing came back with some abnormalities as well. I mean, my 50-year-old swimmers don't swim as well as they used to, obviously. And,
thank you. I wasn't expecting to hear that phrase on the podcast tonight, but thank you for that.
We're full of surprises.
Yeah. But also, thank you for actually sharing that, because, I mean, there is a lot of stigmatization around male infertility, and mm-hmm. it's really important that we talk about it. So you've had a couple of questions from people in your life that, and I'm not sure. going to name them, about whose baby it is. Mm-hmm. So what was, if you are comfortable sharing it, what was your response? Because I actually think that you handled it really well.
I mean, ultimately, the answer is we don't know.
Yeah, it's fair.
But, I mean, as someone who has been a participant in y'all's journey, I have been very careful about barriers and protections and things as well, and wanted to support y'all in your journey. And so this was not a place that I wanted to be. There is a not zero chance.
Which certainly. I think was a good way of putting it to the concerned parties that asked you.
But the chances that this child is mine are pretty darn slim.
Yeah.
And that doesn't matter to me in the slightest. Mm-hmm. I love y'all and I love this baby.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is very much, I mean, Kendi and I were the ones who set out to conceive a child. But like, in a lot of ways, this is totally the polycule baby. I mean, all three of us will have an involvement in this child's life at this point. I mean, some of us more so than others. But all three of us are, I mean, with our daughter, we are likely to, I mean, Kendi and I refer to each other as her parents. But like, we also refer to, I mean, the three of us, we say, you know, we're your grown-ups. Mm-hmm. And we do that for a couple of reasons. One, because it kind of takes the parent thing out of it. And she knows that these are three trusted adult figures. It doesn't matter what the genetic relationship is. It also destigmatizes the fact that some children don't live with their parents. They live with their grown-ups. And so it's a very concentrated effort on our parts for a couple of different reasons. Mm-hmm. So I loved the way that you explained that, because you explained it in a way that was non-judgmental. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, was very frank, because the thing is that there's not, you know, a 0% chance, but that was also not the goal. And I think that one thing that we want to make clear is that, like, we all made concerted efforts here to plan this. Now, that being said, there are some polycules that is not their approach. And that is totally up to them, and there is zero judgment from this polycule.
Correct.
On how anybody else decides to construct their family. It was not the way that we chose to go about it, because we wanted to honor the wishes of everyone here as to who wanted to have a biological child and who did not. That being said, as part of those conversations that we had very early on in dating, just because of the fact that I am not on birth control, you know, there have been conversations had about, you know, if this happens, if situation A happens, how do we deal with this as a group of adults who are involved with this child's life? And so these are all conversations that we have had. They are all conversations that if you are in a polycule who is trying to conceive, or part of your polycule is trying to conceive, you also need to have. Mm-hmm. And there need to be legal protections and everything else in place in order to navigate that and to keep everyone safe. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and frank discussions about, you know, some pretty hard issues.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But when, again, we behaved like grown-ass adults.
Yes.
And sat around.
Trademark.
Yeah.
Right? Sat around the kitchen table and really discussed, you know, all of the different variables and factors that were going in.
Yeah, and it just boils down to communication. Communication,
yeah.
Communication.
For sure.
And we've made concerted efforts to keep those avenues open and moving from jump.
Yeah.
And it's made life so much easier.
Yeah.
Because we can talk to each other mm-hmm. about anything.
And it's made us better grown-ups too.
Dubby.
Yeah. Because, and I mean, we're so used to communicating, and she sees that really positive model of communication too. Not that these conversations are taking place in front of her, but there is a general comfort and there's a general communication amongst all of us that she sees modeled as a good relationship for her.
And it's not just the physical child, but the inner child is being nurtured
yeah.
in this, because
yeah.
there's, you know,
when you become a parent, you also got to reparent yourself.
Exactly.
To a large degree.
Exactly.
One other question that we had was somebody asked me if I would be, if I would consider having children with anyone but Kendi. So there's a couple of different answers to this question. So first of all, this pregnancy is probably the last pregnancy that my body will carry. My pregnancy with my previous child, with our daughter, was very hard on my body. I was a gestational diabetic, and for a lot of people, they have gestational diabetes and they go back to living a completely normal life afterwards. It pushed me into full-fledged diabetes. I went into that pregnancy with a normal A1C and came out of it with diabetes. And no amount of lifestyle change, etc., was able to reverse that. I did reverse it with the help of medication and a lifestyle sort of adjustment. I ate a pretty low carb diet before, actually, but it took the max dose of metformin to push my A1C back to a pre-diabetic range. So pregnancy is very hard on me. In addition to diabetes, my joints, I have a lot of hypermobility issues during pregnancy. I had to undergo a significant amount of physical therapy before, my last pregnancy, during and after, because of the hypermobility issues. And yeah, I am also, if we're going to be frank, I am 36 years old. And while I don't consider that old by medical terms, this is a geriatric pregnancy. Your risk factors for a lot of different things like hypertension, et cetera, go up after you, pass the 35 mark. So we have pretty much decided that, I mean, no matter how this pregnancy turns out, I'm still very, very early on. We're not out of, you know, the woods yet in terms of that, but this is probably the last pregnancy that my body will carry. Because it's probably the last pregnancy that my body can carry and me not have some really adverse health consequences. So yeah, Kendi is probably the last partner I will get pregnant with. If those medical factors were not a factor, I have a tendency that I never say outright no to anything. Just because I don't think that that's a healthy outlook on life, love, etc. I will tell you that the only other partner that I would have even considered going on this journey with is probably the other one sitting here at this kitchen table, Carl. Because we have a similar outlook on parenting. We have similar political views, similar, you know, ideas when it comes to family and things like that. Was it a goal of ours? No. And that was something that we also discussed very early on. Again, I would never say never, because who knows who I might meet tomorrow, right? But just from a medical standpoint, this is probably the last pregnancy that I will carry. So I am enjoying every minute of it, and I get to enjoy it with both of my partners, which is pretty special. Hey. So yeah, those are the questions that I had on my end. Have y'all gotten any other questions?
Other than Botrika, no.
Yes, our bot friend that we still don't know if is actually a bot or not. But yeah, this is a really special journey to kind of undergo this time. When we were pregnant with our daughter, I had literally just met my ex-girlfriend. And I had to do the very awkward, like, 2 weeks after we met, hey, by the way, I'm pregnant and I totally understand if you want to run screaming away. And to her credit, she did not.
She did not.
She was very supportive through the pregnancy, even though we were in complete isolation. And I'm always very thankful for that. But this one is very special because, I mean, she was supportive, but wasn't really, you know, in this, you know?
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's not a judgment or correct. Anything. But this very much feels like a polycule pregnancy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about, I have told my medical team, by the way, my other partner's name is Carl. He may come to some appointments with me and this is the deal. And
they were like, okay.
And they were just kind of like, okay, which is exactly how your medical provider should react to that information. Mm-hmm. But no, it definitely does feel like something we are all undertaking together. And for me, that has been really special because, you know, when you have a pregnancy, after you've undergone infertility, after you've undergone miscarriages, that trauma is something. Yeah. And knowing that, you know, I have two supportive partners backing me up has made that easier to navigate. I'm constantly getting reassurance from both of you, and I'm very grateful for everything. Hmm. I'm also very grateful for the back rubs, just so we're clear.
Oh, yeah. Not that.
Birthing new life is not easy.
No.
I definitely, I honor and love you.
Oh, I love you too.
Something I was talking about before we went on air, and not to mention just the trauma of going through miscarriages and infertility, but the trauma of, you know, the last trimester and a half of being in isolation. And then,
well, and then the newborn phase.
In the newborn phase.
And we were on our own.
Exactly. And knowing where we are now and understanding the kind of help we have now,
yeah,
is such a reassurance.
Yeah.
And even with that reassurance, like thinking back on that experience of the newborn phase, it's trying to, you know, understand that necessarily won't happen again.
Yeah.
There's many more factors in play now that will be avoided.
Yeah.
And it's a constant reminder every day that, you know, it's going to be okay. It's going to be better than it was.
Yeah.
Because we are no longer in that phase of our collective lives.
Yeah.
But there's nothing easy.
No, definitely not.
For any of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the two of you are starting a book club.
We do. The Expecting Meta, Father.
Yeah, the Meta Book Club.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, this is something that for you, I mean, you've never gone through this because you had children via adoption. And so, like, you've never been partnered with somebody who's pregnant. And so you've never really been through this journey.
No, this is brand new. I'm learning quite a bit.
Yeah. Bless your heart. You really are. Like, mm-hmm. I swear to y'all, like, on the way back today, my blood sugar started dropping. And so I was like, I really need to eat. And this poor man went through about, like, 8 different lunch choices before I finally found one that I thought that I could stomach. So, thank you for putting up with all my difficult nature during this time.
A pleasure.
Well, everyone, this has been another episode of the Modern Loving Family Podcast. Again, you can check us out on TikTok, on Instagram, and on Facebook. We have a link tree in our bio where you can get access to all of those profiles. And in addition, you can get access to our Cash App. So if you've enjoyed listening to this, send us a little love at the $ the Modern Loving Fam. That helps us pay for hosting. We will see you all next time. And until then, peace and love.
Happy Halloween.